Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello again, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to KKIM, the oldest Christian radio station in New Mexico. And maybe this will be the last one on the keys to the kingdom, but as I was praying this morning and meditating, and I believe the Holy Spirit also brought up these scriptures that I wanted to bring forth to you. And we know that in Matthew 16, that, and I'll read it real quickly, and then we're going to go from there. We'll use it as a springboard. And Jesus is talking to Peter. And he said, because Peter had recognized that he was the Christ, the anointed, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, or happy are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And anyway, so Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. And in Acts 2:38, he used them. And this was the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit had filled these believers. And I'm going to read Acts 2:38 again. Well, 37 and 38. Well, 36 too. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, both the Master and the Anointed One, this Jesus or this Savior whom you've crucified. When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And remember, we read not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is not just calling on his name. Not everyone that just says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will. What shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, which is the first key, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the reason is for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they were told what they must do. Now, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So how do we actually call upon the name of the Lord? Well, this is Ananias. We've gone over this before, but let me reiterate on this one. And this is Ananias speaking to Saul. For you will be a witness for him and to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So it's not just saying, Lord, Lord, but doing the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is to be baptized. We know that even Jesus set this example in Matthew 3. And he said in Matthew chapter 3 that in this way it is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus, this is Matthew 13 through 17 are the verses. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Look at that word, us. It is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. Why are you baptized? Not an outward sign of an inward cleansing, but it is done in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and this fulfills all righteousness, all what is right. This is right to God. To die to the old self, that's Romans 6, 3 and 4, you're dying to the old man, he is crucified, to be raised with Christ. Read Romans 6, 3 and 4, but especially 1 through 11. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him. The key, you see, he's showing how the keys work. He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him, and behold, a voice coming out of the heavens. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That was said at Jesus' baptism. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And so John permitted him. Anyway, the Bible is actually quite amusing. It's very heartfelt. But then there's interesting moments in it too where men try to second guess God, and God explains what he is doing, and man backs off if he's a godly man, which is good advice. I want to go to John 14. Let me turn there. John 14. If I could just find it in my Bible. You know, these chapters in the Bible, they tend to jump around on you. And have you noticed that too? Now, some people are really good at getting to the right place at the right time, but there was this man that we all really admired. He was an unbelievable Bible teacher and definitely a son of God, anointed by the Spirit, and you could tell. And one day somebody went up to him and he said, "What are those numbers that you have there?" And he goes, "Well, that's a page in my Bible to help me find that particular verse." So he had the Bible memorized, you know, as to where things were, but sometimes when you're up teaching, they just seem to move on you. Anyway, let's see. John 14, let me just start in 15 to 21. So I'm reading the whole context, and we're going to look especially at verses 15 to 17 and verse 20. Anyway, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will, and hereby we know we love God when we keep his commandments." Have you heard that one? You know, people can say, "I love God," and they just put their hand over their heart and get all emotional on you. That's a brotherly love. The agape love is you keep his commandments. You don't lie. You walk in according to the Bible and so on, in day in and day out. And where the emotions fail, the agape love of God never fails. It actually says that because you have the emotional love, the phile love that John had, or was it Peter? It was Peter that had in the last part of John. He was all emotional, but when it came to the cross, he skedaddled to Seattle. He was gone because the agape love had not yet been poured out in their hearts through the Holy Spirit. But this love that Jesus is trying to explain to them, if you love me with an agape love, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. So here's another name for the Holy Spirit, the helper. That is the Spirit of truth. Oh, here's another name, the Spirit of truth, or the helper, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." I'm going a little backwards here, but you'll probably see why. Verse 8 of chapter 14, Philip said to him, this is the next full context, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "How long have I been with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me?" So if you got three parts, draw yourself three circles, one inside another like a bullseye with an outside ring. So you've got in the middle, you've got the Spirit, and then in the ring around it, you've got the soul, and in the outside ring, you've got the flesh. So you've got one within another. So put Jesus in the middle ring, and you can see if you put God the Father on the outside ring and in the very center ring, that Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in him. You can see that there's a a multi-way relationship, that not only does Jesus have the Father in his heart, but the Father also is a covering to him on the outside. Now look what it says about you. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, otherwise because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, or amen, amen in the Hebrew, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So, the Holy Spirit must be within you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. And so the Holy Spirit must be in you. And that is the Greek word en, E-N. And the Holy Spirit is one with the Father and Jesus. And there's another place that says, you will be in me and I will be in you. There's another place in there. And because we know Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one and the same, it even says that in the book of Romans chapter 8, that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of Jesus. That's in Romans 8. I think it's around verse 17 or something. You can look that up. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And here again, the Holy Spirit is not only in us, but we are in the Holy Spirit, so that must mean that he is also a covering to us. That is the relationship, the twofold relationship between us and Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is in us and we are in the Holy Spirit. So when we get baptized, we get filled with the Holy Spirit comes in us through the laying on of hands, the Spirit covers us and covers our nakedness, you see. And then you really start feeling great when you've got all that right relationship with God, that he's not only in you, but you are in him. Now I'm going to read a story about a woman that was baptized. Her name is Lydia, and this is the beginning of the church in Thyatira. And you can read about that church in the book of Revelations. And let's see, that's in Revelations chapters 2 and 3, you've got the church in Ephesus, you got the church in Smyrna, you got the church in Pergamum, you've got the church in Thyatira. That's where Lydia was, you see. So let's read about this church getting started in Thyatira. And it all started with, they were staying in the city. This is Paul. Paul had come to Lystra. Let's see, is this Paul and Barnabas? Well, anyway, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. We were staying in this city some days, and on the Sabbath, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And God, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that all that hear this program, their heart would now be open to respond to the things spoken. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask this. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Oh, that's great. I like that story. Then the next context, and we read a whole context. That's the beginning of the church in Thyatira. Now, the next place that they went is they got imprisoned. And so they had hands laid on them. And that's actually the same type of laying on of hands. Did you know that? That when they threw people in prison, it's still epitithemi kir, the same laying on of hands. So there's a purpose of, not a good purpose, of laying on of hands if you're a good guy. Oh, this is Paul and Silas. He goes on and explains this. At midnight, so they're thrown, Paul and Silas are They tore off their robes. They beat them with rods. And when they struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. Now, I'm sure they are bruised and bloody and torn up. Because when you're beat without any clothes on, those strikes will probably tear the skin. He, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So here they are, bloody, cut up, raw wounds, and they're in the stocks. So they're in there crying and moaning, right? But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Why? Because Peter got the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and you can pass those keys on. And so no physical prison is going to hold a true believer, if they are working righteousness. Now, if you are in prison because of unrighteousness, you are getting what your deeds deserve, but there can still be salvation and you can still be righteous, right with God. Be cleansed, because there is not a person on earth who has not sinned. You're not any worse off than the rest of us who are not in prison. We all have sinned and fallen short, but there is still salvation and God could set you free. Now, you might not get out until the day the Lord comes, but you most certainly, if you serve God, you most certainly will be free, at least on that day when Jesus returns. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because you see, if a prisoner escapes, they, and I know because my dad was a guard one time in, he was in his 40s when he was inducted into World War II, so they weren't going to send him over. He had already been on horseback in World War I in the cavalry in Europe, and so they put him in a prisoner of war camp in Florence, Arizona, where he and my mother got married. And if he would have allowed one to escape, he would have served their sentence. And some of these were probably in for the death sentence, so the prisoner guard was just going to take care of matters himself and just kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. He was going to kill himself. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights. See, they could have just run out, but their job wasn't done, you see. And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to them. Now, if that would, believing is just necessary, that they would have just stopped there. And spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all the household. And he took them that very hour of night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and his whole household. Why? Because they knew the keys to the kingdom. And so not only he was baptized, but his whole household. So even though this jailer had the physical keys to the prison, which was no match for God, he needed the keys himself to get out of the prison that he was in here on this earth. And my friends, we are all imprisoned under Satan's domain until we have been set free. And the Lord will make us free. It says, "Know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And what is in the truth? The truth is regarding the keys to the kingdom. You need set free, my friend. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Now, when day came, the magistrates came, and so on. So here is Paul using the keys there. They believed, and of course they were baptized. But just a few chapters away, let me read this again and tell you what else Paul did. I believe he laid hands on him too, and I'll tell you why, because the rest of the story is here in chapter 19. This is how Paul operated. I'm reading Acts 19, 1 through 7. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, he came to Ephesus and found some disciples. This is the beginning of the church of Ephesus, you see. That was the church in Philippi. That's the beginning there. And you can see the book to the Philippians in the Bible. This is the book to the Ephesians. This is the beginning of the church in Ephesus. He came and he found some disciples or Christians. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" In other words, do you have that dynamite power? And that's Acts 1:8. You will receive power, dunamos, when the Holy Spirit has come within you. And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what were you baptized? What did the minister say when he laid you under the water? Remember in Acts 2:38, it's in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he said, into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe on him who is coming after him, that is in Jesus. And you see, they've already repented. He doesn't need to bring this up again. But repentance is in this context. They'd already repented. If a person has repented, you don't have to redo your repentance. You just have to do the next step. If they've repented and been baptized, and they need the laying on of hands, you got to do the laying on of hands, you see. So if they've already repented, you don't need to do that again. And they were told to believe in him who comes after him, that is in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the next thing Paul did, so here's repentance, here's baptism. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began to speak with tongues and prophesying. So not only does the Holy Spirit need to be in us and fill our hearts, the Holy Spirit needs to be upon us and take away the shame of our nakedness. In Galatians, I think it is, let me look really quickly and see if I can, yes, 3:27, and we'll read 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So the subject here is being a son of God, and it happens through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Well, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free man. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. You are a true Jew in your heart if you have been baptized. So all those who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now let me go to Romans chapter 8. I'll read this one. This is very important to know. These are the two other names for the Holy Spirit. He's called Melchizedek. He is called the Helper. He's called the Comforter, and so on. This is verse 9. It's not 8:17. It's chapter 8, verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. That's Romans 8, 9. So we can easily go back and say, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And it's because of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ has given you back the clothing that Adam and Eve lost in the garden when they fell. And my dear friends, the time has come and gone way too quickly. And may God lead you to the water, because it says in the Bible, when you go under the water, I will be there. And may he clothe you with his Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us toll-free at 866-754-6527. That's 866-754-6527. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.